Welcome back to Table Talk. Find a seat at the table and get ready. We're going to start with a little quiz. True or false? Jesus promises forgiveness in the Lord's Supper. True or false?
Well, you'd better answer that according to his word.
That's this is one of those questions you ask, and the people just sit there and say, the answer's too easy. He must be looking for a different answer. It's true. It's true. As with all questions concerning the Lord's Supper, where do you go for the answer? Go to the Lord and his words.
Yeah, so I'm looking at verse 28. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So the answer is true.
True. Forgiveness of sins in the Lord's Supper. Not just back at Calvary. Yeah. Certainly. That is the sacrifice on Calvary, which atones for all sin. But it's that atonement and that forgiveness which is being distributed, which is being poured out in the supper here.
Yeah. That's the distinction you have to make. The Lord's Supper is not the achieving of salvation. That's Calvary. The Lord's Supper is the delivery of that salvation, the bestowal of it through his words. Again, we have to emphasize that the words are the most important thing in the sacrament, or any sacrament. Baptism, what's the most important thing? The word. The absolution, what's the most important thing? The word.
And what does the devil like to do? Distract from
the
word.
Did God really say?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't trust that.
Anything but the word.
Yeah.
The Lord's word.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have words? Ah, let's give you a chance. Let's listen to your words for a while. And there, he diverts you from the gospel.
And I think this is why the Lord's Supper has been so important for Christians over the centuries, since the very moment that Jesus instituted it. Really? This is what you promised to give me? Thank you. I can't live without it. I'll be your hanger-on. I'm going to hang on your words, and I'm going to hang on your gifts. By the way, I say that on purpose, and I've said it many times, and there's a reason why. And the more that I read the New Testament, you know, the stories of Jesus and when he encounters people, he usually encounters people who are weak, from the world's eyes, worthless, and these are people who are what? Totally dependent upon Jesus. Teaching us what? This is what a mature Christian, this is what the mature Christian church looks like.
Right.
When you got a whole bunch of these hangers on, a church, that's what the church should look like. How should I say this? What I've just said, do you realize how scandalous that is? Because you and I have grown up our entire lives of the church being described as going out and doing something 24/7, 365. And when you read the New Testament, the church primarily, not only, but primarily, are a bunch of moochers who hang on the words and gifts of Jesus and live off of him in that way. Isn't that interesting? Then we can be active.
What's the main emphasis that you hear preached in many churches today? Doing, being a doer,
mm-hmm.
not a receiver, not a recipient, not a moocher, not a hanger on.
That's why
who hungers and thirsts for something that they don't have. But that's all. Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, that's behind us. We've moved beyond that. And to be a mature Christian is to be a doer, to be in ministry, to whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
Ah.
Whatever. We need to relearn. We need to relearn what it means to be the church. Primarily the church is a receiver. And only when she receives the Lord's gifts in the way he's mandated them and instituted them, then the church can be active and live self-sacrificially for the sake of the world. You know?
Didn't seem to me like Jesus ever moved beyond bestowing mercy and grace upon people.
You know, and
lavishing them with his gifts.
He never did. So after he's raised from the dead, he makes sure that the church remains gathered around him, the 12. And the 12 then extend this gathering, if you will.
And what are they mandated to do? That the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins be preached to the ends of the earth. That's what he tells. It's not a preaching of, now make sure you equip everybody to go out and to be ministers and to do ministry.
It's go out, preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins, baptize and teach all nations, Why? So that they can be moochers too. They can be a hanger-on. Now, what you and I always talk about, it seems like, in our when we sit down with a cup of coffee and talk about, you know, things theological, it's very interesting that what we talk about, what our Lord's instituted, this is one of the sad things. And really, we need to have an honest conversation about this. One of the sad things that happens is what we've just described is demonized as maintenance ministry. And why is it called maintenance ministry? Well, yeah, of course you're doing what our Lord instituted, but you're not showing any numbers. We've looked at your numbers, and the numbers aren't the way they should be or the way we think they should be. So you're doing maintenance ministry. So what's the first thing that has to be jettisoned?
The liturgy.
Or the sacraments, if you will, what the Lord's given. Now, again, you say liturgy. Again, what's the liturgy for? The liturgy is for the sake of delivering the gifts.
Yeah, when I say that, I simply, you know, Christ in the midst of his people, serving them, wrapping the towel around his waist,
yeah,
bending down and washing their dung-laden feet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a side note. But back to how you started by asking the question, the true or false question. You know, let's reemphasize the fact that where there's forgiveness of sins, as the Small Catechism correctly teaches, you have life and you have salvation. It's really important. We've talked about this before, but we're going to say it again. You know, when we ask people to dare to be Lutheran, it's this particular point. Forgiveness is salvation, or salvation is forgiveness. And so the church has a bunch of moochers receiving the forgiveness that Jesus won. That's the daily thing. That's the every Sunday thing. That's why the Lord's Supper for Christians is so important. And by the way, if you don't have the Lord's Supper, you can't have the church. Are you aware of that? This is what sustains the church. Imagine that. Imagine that. You don't have the Lord's Supper, and this is happening now in the name of mission. We don't even come to church anymore. We're just going to go out in the world and do mission work, or we're going to do social justice projects. So we no longer have the Lord's Supper. Guess what? You're no longer church. That's the danger here.
Well, and the sacrament is set aside because it's seen as being offensive or a potential barrier to the unbeliever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you remember that Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34, the new covenant that the Lord promises to make, part of it is that I will remember their sins no more. So when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, that's the fulfillment of it, when he says, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Okay? So really, the Lord's Supper, is it the gospel? What's the answer to that one?
Absolutely.
It is.
It's the whole enchilada.
Yeah.
It's the whole gospel.
Yeah. And when you understand that and believe that, now I think you can understand, like I've said repeatedly now, that you can't do without it. You want it all the more.
Now we better clarify, because there may be some out there saying, Brent and Scott, they're saying that the gospel is only the Lord's Supper. No, we didn't say that. The gospel is bestowed in different forms. But the Lord's Supper is the gospel.
It is. It is. Just like baptism is the gospel. Absolution is the gospel.
God's word is the gospel.
And how do you know that? Well, it's for you. The for you talk is gospel talk.
Yeah. It's that for you is in all of these various means of distribution.
Yeah.
There he goes.
Oh, if I can get my mic to continue to work.
Fidgeting breath.
Oh, sorry, Scott.
He didn't touch it at all.
You know, one of the greatest theologians that the Lutheran Church has had, his name is John Gerhard. And a lot of his writings that were written in Latin are being translated. And the people who do that really need to be thanked. But I want to give a quote with regard to our topic here from John Gerhard. He says this, "For here in the sacrament you receive from the lips of Christ forgiveness of sin." Is the Lord's Supper the gospel? Yeah, it is. Let's continue with the quote. "And his forgiveness contains and brings with it God's grace," God's favor, for Christ's sake, in other words, "God's Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit, and his protection, shielding, and sheltering you against death and the devil and all evil." Oh, you know, I just quoted the Large Catechism there accidentally.
Ah, it sounded familiar.
Yeah, that's the Large Catechism. I thought I was quoting Gerhard. Let me find my Gerhard quote. Where is that? Oh, it's a little bit later. My
but,
words.
But in the large catechism, the whole enchilada there.
Yeah.
The whole gospel.
Yeah.
Did you find your Gerhard quote?
I did. You know, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:13 that we're all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one spirit to drink. Here's the Gerhard quote. This is what I was looking for and just couldn't find it. Quoting on that 1 Corinthians text, Gerhard says, "We drink one and the same sacrament, so that we also receive one and the same spirit, just as we receive one and the same baptism, so that we are one body." This gets back to what I was talking about, the connection between the sacraments and the church. If you don't have the sacraments going on, you don't have the church. You know, baptism is the, what shall I say here? It's how believers are born.
Right. Right.
And those believers are fed and nourished and sustained through the preaching of the gospel, the spoken word of absolution, and the Lord's Supper. This is how the Lord institutes, creates, and takes care of his church.
And we don't pit these things against each other.
Never
they are all
should.
From the Lord, and they all go together.
Yeah.
They're all for you, as we said.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because there's a unique part to each sacrament. What do I mean? In baptism, what's the unique thing? You've got water, of course, and God's word. But what particular word of God?
The name. The Lord's name is put upon you.
Right.
And where the Lord puts his name, there he is.
And he's
to bless.
Yeah, that's right. And so where the Lord gives you his name, it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so you get all the benefits of God for you. And that's why you, when you read the New Testament in Acts 2, you get the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says you believe and you're baptized, you're saved. Paul writes to Titus in chapter 3, he saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. That's baptism. Paul was told by Ananias, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins. Interesting. There's an S verb that always goes with baptism in the New Testament. An S verb. S like in Sam. What's the S verb?
Sanctify?
That's one of them. There's another verb. Saved.
Oh.
Yeah.
Baptism now saves you?
1 Peter 3. I hope I bumped my microphone. It didn't go off.
So we have the Ephesians 4 thing going on in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, in the absolution. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And that's, I think, what Gerhard is getting at here with reference to the Corinthians passage. The one Spirit. The one Spirit.
That's right. Just to say one more thing about the uniqueness of each. Yeah, baptism, the name. You don't eat and drink the body and blood in baptism.
No.
And so also in the Lord's Supper, the name's not given to you, but rather the body and blood of Christ. See how this works? Gospel given, gospel delivered in its own unique way.
Emphasis,
that's why we don't pit them off against each other.
Emphasis on washing, cleansing, emphasis on feeding, nourishing. There are uniquenesses to that, and yet they're both the one gospel, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we have just a couple minutes here. What do you want to wrap up with?
Well, you know, the benefits of the Lord's Supper, let's talk just briefly a little bit more about them. I mean, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Salvation. Salvation includes the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Let's not forget that. And that comes with all the sacraments, baptism, Lord's Supper, okay? The gospel gives these gifts. So also with the Lord's Supper. When the Lord Jesus gives you his body and blood with the promise that your sins are forgiven, guess what's going to happen to you on the last day?
Your body will be raised to live, body and soul, with the Lord forever.
That's right. And so the large catechism says it's appropriately called then the food of the soul, because it nourishes and strengthens the new man. And part of this at the end will be resurrection.
And so with the Lord's word, he gives what he says, the forgiveness of sins. And where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, resurrection of the body, eternal life. Peace be with you, folks.